Good morning, everybody. How are you today? Well, two things have happened, and it wasn't the rapture, but we have the women's conference today, the ladies, and they're still finishing up today, and it's hunting season. So thank you for coming today and being together. I so appreciate it as a body of believers whenever we get together and be encouraged. We have a guest speaker today, my friend Mike, and he is going to come up and talk with us. He and his wife, Laura, are here today, and they are amazing people. Mike was the pastor at Hawkinson Community Church, and he is a chaplain here in the county and has been for a long time and actually teaches in our chaplain training school. And so we're going to have him come up today too and share, and I believe you're going to be really blessed. A few quick announcements before we jump into all of that. I'm reading them off my phone. This is new for me. So the ladies are still at the women's retreat, and we will be praying for them here in just a minute. And I'm really excited that they've had a great time. I've got a few of the pictures, some of the comments of things that are going on there, and God is truly working. And what's so cool about the ladies' retreats is as I look at the pictures, there's faces of people I don't know. And I think that's great because people have invited other women to come with them to hear about Jesus and the desire he has for a relationship with them and growing with him. We also have a newcomers class. It's a four-week class, and it's actually not just for new believers. It's for anybody who's new to the church to kind of figure out who we are, what we believe in, how to integrate into the church and become part of the family, because we really are a family. We operate that way around here, and if you're new, I'm glad you're here to become part of the family. So that is before service from 8:30 to 9:15, and the next one is That already happened, October 26th. It's every week, so I think you have two weeks left, 1 week left. Yeah, look on the information table, and you can sign up, and they'll get you set up there. Okay, November 9th, that's next Sunday, we have a potluck, and at that potluck, because we put it off 1 week because the ladies are gone, during the potluck time, we'll also share about El Salvador and the mission trip that went on there just recently, and what we're doing and what's coming up. We had some things come up that we didn't expect, which is going to get us rebounding there pretty quickly here in January to help them do some more training on how to assist the people in El Salvador with trauma and crisis and suicide and things of that nature. So we'll be bouncing back very quickly. And then we have a food drive also next Sunday for Battleground High School students. If you want to bring some food, again, sign up, get some more information of the kind of foods and the things that are needed. But a lot of the kids there, and especially I've been thinking about that with so many not receiving their SNAP benefits. Mm-hmm. I think there's 42 million Americans that receive food assistance, which didn't happen because of the governmental shutdown. And so when you're looking at a nation of like 350 million, and don't quote me on it, it's right around there, you're talking about one in seven in the country are on some type of food assistance. And so we can help out through Battleground High School just providing some of those snacks or little meals to fill in between for some of those students and individuals who just don't have enough financial support to have all the nutritional needs met. Can you give money? Go to the information table and ask them because I know nothing. So how about I say yes, but I don't know for sure. Okay. November 16th is Paul's memorial service. And again, we are really looking for quite a few of you to sign up and help out if you could. So there are some needs to be met. And there's a sign-up sheet over there, and you can fill that in and then come join us. It'll be right after church service. We'll all be here as a family celebrating and supporting one another through that time. And then we have a volunteer sign-up for the Christmas Adam service, which is December 23rd, because Adam comes before Eve, so it's the day before Christmas Eve, if you need to remember. And that will be here. It'll be a dinner, a great time of celebration and worship. We're looking forward to that. So if you want to help, if you want to volunteer doing some of the setup and helping out throughout that service, we would really appreciate it. And it's an open invite. So if you have people who are close to you that you think would benefit from coming and worshiping and coming to know Jesus, believers and unbelievers alike, we have it catered. We'll serve a meal. We really look forward to having those individuals. Those of you who are watching from home, this is a great time to actually come. And even if you've never been here before, and meet some of the people who are in the family, and we'll worship the Lord together and just spend that time celebrating the coming of Jesus and thinking about the second coming of Jesus and waiting for that too. So we're going to move now to prayer. Hank, yes, sir? Make sure you vote. True enough. And I think you're running out of time like 2 days, right? Okay, so make sure you vote. Thank you. Good reminder. All right, so we're going to pray now. If you're new with us, this is how we do it. I'm going to open us up in prayer. I'm going to start on a particular topic, and then I'll pause, and it'll give each one of you a minute to talk with the Lord about those same things or make your petition. Let him speak to you and listen. And then we'll pray over a few more things and just repeat that process. So if you would, join me in prayer now. I'd appreciate it. Father, you're so good to us. Honestly, we know that this life has so many different seasons. And some of those are seasons of challenges, of losses, of gains. And I'm so grateful that the Word tells us that we're to weep with those who weep and to rejoice with those who rejoice. And I love that you've given us a body of believers to come together with, because while some are weeping, some are rejoicing. And there's always life going on because of you. And there's eternal life going on because of you. There's hope in a future that is beyond our imagination, where everything will be made right. Everything will be better than what we've ever experienced or understand or know. And so it is with great joy that we come to you this morning. And Lord, in some senses, offload some of the burdens that we have, because we're going to talk to you about them and place them upon your shoulders. And in other places, to come and just give you thanks and to worship you, and probably for all of us, a little bit of both. You're the God of all things, not some things. And we're just grateful. And so, Father, as we begin to pray this morning, the first thing we really want to pray about is the leaders of our nation. You tell us to pray for our nation and the leaders of our nation. And Lord, it seems to be a shocking thing that some have believed that we should just leave all things that have to do with politics and the leaders of a nation out, when we have an entire section of the Bible called the Kings and the Prophets. When we see that you set people who could hear from you and represent you and talk before the political leaders, that they might have guidance and understanding. And that the Word says we rejoice when there's great leadership and we groan when there's bad leadership. And so, God, we just want to thank you for the leaders that you give us that return to the values that are in the Bible. We know, Father, that not all of them are believers, but we want them to be. And Lord, we see some of the governmental leaders who very clearly dislike you and therefore hate the church. And we want to pray for them to become believers. Because Lord, we realize, well, we are still so blessed, but what we really need is revival and awakening in our nation. And our leaders need that too. And if they know you, then the whole nation will rejoice. Because one by one, they'll start giving their hearts to you. Revival will take place. Lord, I thank you, even as I heard today, that France went from 50,000 believers in 1950 to over 1 million today, with a church opening every 10 days. Thank you, God. We see that you're working and you're doing stuff, and we just pray that you would do an amazing work in our leaders in this nation. So we take a moment and pray. Lord, you also tell us to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. And Lord, we're grateful that your Word is so specific about who you are, the way you love, the promises you keep, the covenants you have, the desire you have for your people. And we thank you, Lord, that we realize that you have never moved back from the covenant you made with the nation of Israel. And you made another covenant for the church. And together we're family. And we just want to thank you, God, that you're leading them piece by piece to you. We're praying for revival because we realize that that's the only peace that they will really know that will last, is when they come to realize that their Messiah has come, was rejected, and then turn their hearts back to him. And we pray, God, there would be revival throughout Jerusalem, not just of the Jewish people, but of everyone living there, that it would be a place marked by your name, that they would be a people who would know you and have peace in the middle of turmoil because they know the Prince of Peace. And so, Father, we're praying for an absence of violence and difficulty and hostility, but we realize that the Bible tells us it's actually going to get crazier, not calmer. And so we realize the peace that is going to last is first started in the heart of each individual as they receive Jesus. And we pray for that. And then there is coming a time when you'll establish your kingdom here for 1,000 years. And there will be a peace that surpasses anyone's understanding. And so, Lord, we just want to take a moment and pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Lord, we want to take a moment and pray for the persecuted church. And right now, that is a prayer that is desperately needed in so many places across the world now, where persecution is ramping up and tens of thousands on a regular basis now are dying. And we're just asking, God, that you would, first of all, not let their faith fail. Strengthen the faith of our brothers and sisters everywhere supernaturally. Give them the ability to be like some of the church fathers who, when persecution was coming, cooked a meal and waited for them to be taken so they could offer the meal to their captors and to those who would ultimately put them to death, who prayed for those who persecuted them and treated them harshly. God, I just pray for a supernatural move and an overflowing of your Holy Spirit amongst all believers anywhere who would encounter persecution, from the loss of life to a loss of a job, to loss of family, anything else, Lord, that would be a challenge. And Lord, that you would bear fruit for them in their life during the times of their persecution, meeting their needs through the church, Lord. And I pray this regularly, God, and I mean it, Lord, to speak to each one of us of what our active role should be, praying and more, how you could use us in each and every situation possible. And we pray, God, that you would speak right now, even impress upon the hearts of some who have never done more than pray for the persecuted church, that they would move in that direction. And Father, we just take a moment now and we pray and ask that you would speak to us. And finally, Father, we just want to pray for whoever you would lay on our hearts or minds right now. We believe exactly what the Word says, that your Holy Spirit tells us what to pray when we don't know what to pray. And we believe that you give words of knowledge and that you could speak to us right here, right now, about a situation we've never heard about people that we've maybe never met. And you could tell us exactly how to pray without knowing all the details. And Lord, others I know have things on their heart already. But I pray, God, this would be a move of your Spirit, and we would pay attention, and we would hear you, and we'd let you guide us as we pray now for a moment, wherever you would lead us. Father, we want to thank you. We want to thank you for the ladies who are at the retreat. We pray that your refreshing would be poured out on them, that they would have personal encounters with you. They would hear from you and speak with you and be loved on by you, be refreshed and return to their families, ready to minister and to be ministered to, and to find that place that you would move them now in this season of life. Lord, we thank you for hearing our prayers, for being just who you are. You're so amazing. And we love you so much, but we know it's because you love us so much. And so we give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen.
Amen. Well, good morning, everybody. It's great to be back here with you again this week. And I don't know about you all, but I look forward to Sundays. It's still the best day of the week. And we get to be together and be together with the Lord. So let's enter into a time of worship now and just worship our King.
Jesus, you endured my pain. Savior, you bore all my shame, all because of your love. Maker of the universe, broken for the sins of the earth, all because of your love. All because of your love. Because of your cross, my debt is paid. Because of your blood, my sins are washed away. Now all of my life I freely give. Because of your love, because of your love, I live. Innocent and holy King, you died to set the captives free. All because of your love. Lord, you gave your life for me, and I will give my life to you. All because of your love. All because of your love. Because of your cross, my debt is paid. Because of your blood, my sins are washed away. Now all of my life I freely give. Because of your love, because of your love, I live. You did it for me, you did it for love. It's your victory, Jesus, you are enough. You did it for me, you did it for love. It's your victory, Jesus, you are enough. You did it for me, you did it for love. It's your victory, Jesus, you are enough. Because of your cross, my debt is paid. Because of your blood, my sins are washed away. Now all of my life I freely give. Because of your love, because of your love. Because of your cross, my debt is paid. Because of your blood, my sins are washed away. coming on the clouds. Kings and kingdoms will bow down. And every chain will break as broken hearts declare his praise. And who can stop the Lord Almighty? Our God is the Lion of Judah. He's roaring with power and fighting our battles. And every knee will bow before you. Our God is the Lamb that was slain for the sin of the world. His blood breaks the chains, and every knee will bow before the Lion and the Lamb. Oh, every knee will bow before the Lion and the Lamb. So open up the gate, make way before the King of Kings. Our God who calls the saved is here to set the captives free. And who can stop the Lord Almighty? Our God is the Lion, the Lion of Judah. Every knee will bow before the Lion and the Lamb. Oh, every knee will bow before the Lion and the Lamb. Who can stop the Lord Almighty? Who can stop the Lord Almighty? And who can stop the Lord Almighty? And who can stop the Lord Almighty? 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 Who can stop the Lord? Our God is the Lion, the Lion of Judah. He's roaring with power and fighting our battles. And every knee will bow before you. Our God is the Lamb, the Lamb that was slain for the sin of the world. His blood breaks chains, and every knee will bow before the Lion and the Lamb. Oh, every knee will bow before the Lion and the Lamb.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. You are the Lion and the Lamb, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. You are everything, Jesus. We love you. We thank you for today. Thank you for this opportunity to hear from you now, Lord. And thank you for this fellowship that we have here in this church, this body of believers, Lord. Thank you for the fellowship that we have with the body of believers around the world, Lord. And Lord, we're just so thankful for the fellowship that we have with you. So, Lord, we pray that you would open our hearts, you would open our ears, that we would hear from you, Lord, and that it would sink deep into our hearts. We praise you, Jesus. We love you. We love to worship you, and we look forward to doing it for all eternity, Lord, and we pray these things in your name. Amen. Well, I'm going to invite Mike to come on up, and we'll maybe I'll play a few chords or something while he comes up. Yeah, you like that? Okay.
Hey, sir.
Okay. Well, we'll see. Hey, this is such a sweet fellowship, you know. I've been around a little bit, you know, in the church. And this is a sweet, sweet fellowship. And I know your pastor real well, so I know his heart. And I did not release the pulpit. I was 30 years a pastor, and I did not release the pulpit easily. And I consider it an honor that you would entrust me with this time to share with your people, because he values in caring for you. And Rob, just so you know, Rob and I are completely different. He's forgotten more than I know, okay? I mean, I've taken lots of classes from him. I teach as well, but I've taken lots of classes. And so every time I do that, I go, wow. Laura and I come away going, this is full, this is rich, this is good. You know, we're so grateful. So I consider this an honor. He called me on Friday and said, hey, Mike, could you step in and fill in for me? He's in the middle of I'm teaching on trauma. Okay, anybody know about trauma? Does anybody know about it at all? It's a distressing and disturbing experience. Anybody have one? Right, every day. We live in a world where things happen. In fact, some of the guys that came here this morning, I'm sure that you were distressed. You were disturbed because I don't know what to wear. You know, what am I going to eat for lunch? You know, so I know I got to get the kids ready, whatever it is. That's just practical stuff. But we're going to talk about the ministry of presence and what that would look like. You've heard that phrase before. I'm just curious, in this room, there's got to be a bunch of chaplains that have already trained. Am I correct? How many have already trained? How many have taken this class? Yeah. So here's Ray out there, another one of our teachers and such. But so it's not going to be the expositional teaching that this man does, that I did as a pastor. I'm talking about a topic, the ministry of presence. So let's invite, as you already have, but I want to, from my own heart. Father, thank you, and thank you for the privilege of being here in this place, Lord, and sharing your word and things that are on your heart and mind, Lord, about how do we walk with people? How do we care for them in the midst of a hard place? Lord, that ministry of your presence in and through our lives. So we give this time to you, Lord. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable, first of all, to you, Lord. You are my rock and my redeemer, and I trust you. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. So when he called me also, I said, well, Rob, I don't know. I have vertigo. And so if you saw me walk up the stairs, I purposely looked at each step, you know. And so he said, well, can you do it? I said, I was just teaching in California this week. I was just down in California last week. And so, yes, I can still do that. So ministry of presence, I mean, you, and Dennis, I want to say a shout out to Dennis. Lord, what a blessing he has been to me this morning. Trying to get things working. You know, normally I use and I control everything, but the Lord took that out of my hands. I have no control of anything. And so I have this thing in front of me. If it works, it works. I have printed paper here. I have the Bible. I'm in good shape. But so it'll be a little different. Normally I'm controlling this, and so it seems a little more awkward to me. But what I want you to do, Ministry of Presence is a sacred service, okay? Let me get mine up here so I don't have to turn around and look at that. The ministry of presence, the ministry is a sacred service. It's like that simple runner running towards, you know, that errand that God has for him to do. Do you do that? When God gives you an assignment, are you running towards it? You know, with all the enthusiasm, Lord, I want to be your kid in this situation. That's ministry. It's a sacred service. And presence is a state of being with somebody. Not FaceTime, not Facebook, but life on life, flesh on flesh, face to face. And so that's exactly what it is, that ministry presence, being with people. We, in a world right now, we're pushing, you know, each other away, right? More screens between us. I don't know. I'm old enough. I got grandkids. I jump into their world. I text. I Instagram. I do all this stuff. But my first preference is to look them in the face. It's my first option. Second one is to call them. They don't talk on phones hardly anymore. Called my granddaughter last night, and she was, oh, hi, Papa. Yeah, it's me, you know, but we need to be face-to-face, life on life, flesh on flesh, and that's what we're going to talk about today. So that's what it is. There's only two things that count, and so and Dennis is going to try to keep the slides up there in a trauma scene. And, you know, it's interesting. Someone said, only two. I said, listen, I'm going to give you the takeaway in this course and within the first, you know, few minutes. And then if you fall asleep, that's up to you. We won't get credit. You know, and if you leave, you won't get credit. But the takeaway is real simple. You know, you show up. Who wants to show up in a hard place? You guys all ready for that? Nobody. I mean, I don't want to, and yet I've been a chaplain since 1978, and I've responded to scene for years and years and years in a hard place. But nobody wants to show up. It's the first thing to do is to show up. Second thing is to touch someone. Now, I get kickback on that. You can't touch people today? Yes, you can. Yes, you can. Physically sometimes, spiritually and emotionally always. When you show up, God in you shows up and changes the atmosphere. Have you ever noticed that? You know, everybody can make you happy when they show up. Some when they're leaving and some when they're coming. You know how the atmosphere changes? When that person shows up and it's, yeah, we can do this. Or, oh, come on in, come on in. The ministry of presence is God showing up in us, through us, on a scene in life. And this is a life lesson. This is not a chaplaincy course. And I tell them this when I teach this. You know, Rob doesn't sit there and listen to me. I said, it isn't just a chaplaincy course. This is a course for life. When you show up, God in you changes the atmosphere. Hopefully for good. And he should. That next slide is one that I just showed up on a scene, and some people might call it a trauma scene. These are some of my great-grandchildren. There are five of them. You know, there's Sayla over there on the this side here. Sayla, Glory, and, Isaac, Eden, and Samuel, and three adopted in three. And this is my oldest grandson in Chicago, just south. And we were there first of the month for a week. Showing up on this trauma scene. Let me tell you, five children, five and under, four in diapers. Do we have trauma? We do. We have a distressing and disturbing experience, yes. But let me tell you, these kids are loving in such a way, God lives in through their lives in such a way. So we got to show up, Laura and I, and just hang out in a little over 800 square feet house with five kids, mom and dad, two bedrooms, one bath upstairs, and they sleep in the living room with Isaac, you know. So, but we get to spend, you know, the whole week just loving on kids, face to face, life on life. And the atmosphere changed. It was so good. And that's a personal picture of it. This right here is the next one is of the Chico, YWAM Chico. I just got back. I've been in YWAM for 30 years. I've been teaching for about 25. And I was just down in Chico. We're pastoral staff down there. And what a fun time. So this is the school students and staff. And so our role when we go as pastors is to show up and touch someone. And so there's about 60 people in this photo right here, and there's more down there. And we interacted with, in a connection level to the heart, with about 30 of them, you know, in the course of a week. And we're talking life on life, flesh on flesh, conversations. Now, we didn't fix anything. That's not the goal. The goal is to show up and let them know that God is there. God has not left them. And we listen well, Laura and I. And so that's another ministry of God's presence is what it is. This next one, it was so funny. This next slide is so funny. That was up there for quite a while when we were setting up. And Laura looked at me and says, is that going to be up there the whole time? She did not want her picture up there. Yet, isn't she gorgeous? And I look, no, sorry about that. Babe. So when we got home, this is just this week, this last week. Here she is, grandma, great-grandma, showing up. These are five more of our great-grandchildren. We have 12, actually. Actually, we have about 15, and we have one in heaven. We have four in heaven, three miscarriages, and then Lukey is in heaven. But so we've got all these great-grandkids, and here she is showing up in the middle of life. What I'm trying to tell you, folks, this isn't out there. This starts in your home. That's why this is applicable for you, for me. If I don't show up in my own home and let God live and dwell in me and through me and care for my kids and care for my wife, I don't need to go out there on the street, right? It's so much easier on the street. But he says, first of all, in your own home, show up. Love on, care for. Let me be that wonderful presence in their lives. So those are some of our grandkids. Liddy's on top there, and then Ray. And then Retta's right there hiding behind the book. And Laura Lee, my wife. And so Silas is trying to look at the book. And Josh is, I got a picture of Josh. He had just fallen on top Laura. It was really pretty funny. And pulled her hair, and she's going, ah, that's the one I was going to put in her, but I didn't, babe. You know? Because you enter into people's trauma. That's what I was going to say about that. You enter into when you put yourself in those places that are hard. You just enter into their trauma, as you should. God says this, I will be with you. I'll be with you. The worst feeling isn't being lonely. It's being forgotten. I can't tell you how important that is. A person, you know, we can all be lonely. We've been lonely in crowds. You know, you can go in a crowd, people even know, and be lonely. But to be forgotten, to be forgotten. God says, I have an assignment for you. It's a ministry, a sacred service. I have this assignment. I want you to show up. And you know who I'm talking about. I don't need to know that. You know, Rob, you prayed a wonderful prayer inviting us in. And you said, you guys listen to God and you pray. You know who I'm talking about. I don't have to do your assignment. But you know who God wants you to show up in someone's life that feels forgotten. It's right in your home. It's outside your home. It's the people in your sphere of influence. God says, I want you to show up and be my hands and my feet. That's who he uses. He uses us to do this. When sadness fills your heart, when tears fill your eyes, always, always remember, God will be with you. Psalmist David, Psalm 56:3 says, when I am afraid, when I am under siege, when I feel attacked, God says, I will be with you. I will not leave you. Oftentimes, he doesn't change the surroundings. You ever notice that? You find yourself in the midst of a traumatic event, very distressing and disturbing event. He doesn't change that. He changes me. I see things different. He gives me strength in the middle of it because he says, I will be with you. I'll walk with you. Because he says, I want you to do that in other people's lives. That ministry of presence. You probably didn't think I was ever going to get to the Bible. Yeah. He is so faithful, Rob. I mean, I've listened to lots of his sermons. I was listening to a bunch of your sermons the other day. And you are blessed. Just so you know, guys, you're blessed to have this teacher of the word, but a liver of the word. He lives this out in his own life. And that is so important. In Exodus chapter 3, verse 1 through 4, this is a picture of God showing up. Moses was tending the flock of Jethro and came to the mountain of God. The angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from within the bush. Moses saw that the bush was on fire and it didn't burn up. So Moses thought, I'm going to go over there and see this strange sight. Why this bush does not burn up? When the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called him from within the bush. Now, stop right there. Did you notice something? God is waiting for your response. He is. He's not going to manipulate you and make you do something that you will not do. He's waiting. When God saw that he responded, he said to him, God called from the bush, Moses, Moses. And Moses said, here I am. Now, I'm not surprised that God would use a bush. It's okay. I'm not surprised God would talk. I'm surprised that Moses answered. If a bush started talking to me, what would you do? I don't know. You know, but he obviously knew this is God. And you said, by coming and being a part of this fellowship of believers, Lord, here I am. Here I am. I want instruction, but this church is active. I was looking at your website, and you're active in the lives of people, you know, in all kinds of ways. And what a wonderful privilege that is. So do not come any closer, God said. Take off your sandals, for the place where you're standing is holy ground. And then he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. At this, Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. And the Lord said, I have seen indeed the misery of my people in Egypt, so I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians. Moses said, way to go, God. You see it, you know it. I mean, he's been 40 years away from that, but he knew that they were under siege and under bondage. Way to go. It's like God you know, like dad coming to the rescue. When I was a boy, I grew up on a farm. And I don't know if you've ever, you know, those old barns. We had a big, giant old barn. And why they put that light in the middle of the barn, right there in the middle with the pull string, right? You got a pull string. And I was terrified to go to the barn. But I had to because you got to feed the stock. Dark, crunchy, cold, outside. And so I'm going towards the barn and I hear crunch, crunch. That's not my feet. They're behind me. And I'm going a little farther, crunch, crunch. Now my heart is doing this twitter-pat, right? I'm terrified to go that way. I'm terrified to look behind me. But I did. I just kind of looked like this. It was my daddy. He was standing on the porch with a cup of coffee watching me go into the barn. Now everything changed. The atmosphere changed. The presence of my father gave me courage. And I walked towards that string and I pulled it, lit the place up. No more fear. Why? Because God showed up. And that's what happens when God shows up in us and through us as we allow him to be the sacred service that cares for people. And that's what he wants to do. And now the cry of the Israelites has reached me, and I have seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them. So now, go. I'm sending you to Pharaoh. Whoa, 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 wait a minute. I thought you were going to rescue them. You go, Moses. I'm sending you to the Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, but who am I that I should go to the Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? And God said, I will be with you. Not your strength, not your wisdom, not your authority. Go in my strength. My first call, and you know, if you've ever been a chaplain, responded to a scene, you know what I'm talking about, or anything hard. But I'm going first call, brand new pastor, 1978, chief hands me this box, and the little box, and it's a minute called a minuter. I still have my original one. And he said, push the button, made a noise, made an address, and then he says, now you go do what pastors do. That was my training. That was my total training. I'm 6 months a pastor. I didn't know what they did. And the call was DOA. I am not stupid. Dead on arrival. This kid is going to some house where someone is dead when I get there, and I'm supposed to do what God does. I have no idea. And I cried out to God on my way. And he said, good, keep it that way. Lord, I don't know how to do this. He said, good. Nothing's changed. Nothing's changed. Now, yes, I have years of experience, but nothing's changed. I cry out, Lord, I don't know how to do this. He said, good. Keep it that way. Go in my strength, my power, my authority, my wisdom. I will speak in you and through you if you'll do that. You have to show up. Moses answered, but what? He had a stutter. Well, what? If they don't believe me or listen to me and say, the Lord did not appear to you. The Lord said to him, what is that in your hand? It's a staff. He replied. And Moses, he said, throw it on the ground. Moses threw it on the ground and it became a snake. And he ran from it. And the Lord said to him, reach out your hand and take it by the tail. So Moses reached out his hand to go to the snake, and it turned back into a staff in his hand. When I think that I now have enough training, that I have enough wisdom, I have enough knowledge, that I can do this, I'm in trouble. I'm in deep weeds. No. He says, let the staff of man, Mike, my abilities, my skill, become the staff of God. I can work in you and I can change the atmosphere. I know I've tried to do stuff on my own. I have, and so have you. But when I release this, I say, Lord, I don't know how to do this. He'll show up in us and through us. And that staff, that those skills, those things I thought I knew, the bravado, whatever it is, you know, there's an adrenaline rush. Remember, Rob, when we first started this thing, you know, a few years ago. I started in 78, so quite a few years ago. There was an adrenaline. I was running with fire and peace, and, you know, and I have been for years. I don't have any adrenaline anymore. Do you have any adrenaline? No adrenaline. I have one word. It's called obedience. I just obey. And I show up. And that's what God wants as the ministry of his presence. He's looking for someone to show up and to touch his kids. Jump forward 40 years. Then Moses went out and spoke these words to all Israel. they've been wandering now through the desert for years and years and years. His assignment is over. Joshua is going to pick it up. I am now 120 years old, and I'm no longer able to lead you. The Lord has said to me, you shall not cross the Jordan, and the Lord your God himself will cross over ahead of you. Joshua will also cross ahead of you. So there are seasons to our life. I know. I mean, I'm now, my daughter told me, I thought, I was talking just not long ago about being middle-aged. And my daughter looks at me and says, Dad, I am middle-aged. You are old. She's almost 55. In January, she'll be 55. So I'm still thinking, you know, I'm 77. I guess I qualify now. Not like old, but, you know, I'm older, you know. And I looked at this, and so he gets 120 years. My daddy wanted to live to be 100. He made almost 95. And I want to go all the way hard, you know, live it out. But he said to Joshua, Moses called for Joshua, and he said this, all Israel watched, and he said, be strong and courageous, for you will lead these people into the land, and the Lord will personally go ahead of you, and he will, just like he was with me, he will be with you. One of the privileges we have as we get older, I love this, that I get to pass the baton. I get to invest in this next generation. With YWAM, I've been all over with them, and I get to invest in young people. We're doing a family DTS where six families from all over the world, Madagascar, South Korea, Mongolia, Germany, you know, all over the U.S., students from every place. And I'm the old guy. You know, I'm pretty much always the old guy when I show up in these places. Youth with a mission. I had someone ask me one time, why do you get to be there? I don't know. But I get to show up to pass the baton, to encourage. That's our assignment as we get older. In Psalm 92, it says, and they still will bear fruit. They will be strong and vital and pass on to the next generation that God is faithful, that we have an assignment. We're not done. I am not done. So we get to do that, pass on the reality of living out the dailiness of the ministry of God's presence in us and through us. How do I do it? First in my own home. Then as I walk in my world. And there's some ways in which we do this. God says, I'm going to be with you in the New Testament. This is probably now we have a video coming up that says, she will give birth to a son in you to give him the name Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. And all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son and they will call him Emmanuel, God with us. We are the only faith where God reached down and became man. Everything else is, I got to do it right, got to do it better. No, God says, no, you can't. I am. And he sent his son to come and to be with us. My children love this season so much, my grandchildren, that they both two of our granddaughters have decorated their houses for Christmas. Anybody early like that? Okay. So it's not crazy, huh? Okay. I mean, I thought, oh, Lord. You know, but they love the season of God showing up because they love and they're teaching their kids that God shows up in our life. The idea of ministry of presence isn't a concept. It isn't a teaching. It is the way I live in my life. Some of the things that happen along the way in the New Testament, so let me show you some of these things right here. One day, some parents brought their children to Jesus so he could touch and bless them. But the disciples scolded the parents for bothering them. And when he saw that what was happening, he was angry with the disciples. He said, guys, move. Get out of the way. Children, come here. Hands on, flesh on flesh, life on life. Took them in his lap and it says he blessed them. You know, years ago I had a gentleman in our church that was angry with me because I'd been traveling and doing crazy stuff, kind of like your pastor does at times, you know. You go to these places and they say, and he said to me, why do you do that? Why do you do that? You should just stay here and not go anyplace. And I said, Arnie, let me get back to you. So I asked God, why do I do this? Well, why? He said, Mike, all I really want you to do is hug my kids wherever I take your feet. That's all I want you to do. Just hug my kids. You know, that's all I need you to do. And so I took that back to Arnie, took that passage, took a little visual for him, made it a little card for him. Said, Arnie, God told me to hug his kids. Now, Arnie really didn't want an answer. that answer was for me. God says, Mike, I made you simple. All I need you to do is show up and hug my kids wherever I take your feet. That's it. Not complicated. He made me really simple. He said, that's what I'm going to do. So that's what he did here. But the problem is oftentimes my schedule is way too busy. I don't see it, right? I'm looking over there. Where are my feet? Here. I'm looking over there. Where's the opportunity? Where's the ministry? Right here. And when he takes my feet, and I've been different places, it's always the same. I'm where he wants me to be. Allowing him to live in me and to have that sacred service administered through my life. And if I'm looking for, you know, places to go, here we go. The lepers, you know, it says right here, he reached the border between Galilee and Samaria. And as he entered the village, there were 10 lepers, and they stood at a distance, crying out, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And he looked at them and said, go show yourselves to the priests, and they were healed. There is never, ever, ever a lack of opportunity. There's only a lack of availability. That's it. God's not looking for really qualified people. He's only looking for available people. You already know that. And this church represents that. How many chaplains do you have now? 16 in this church that have been trained to care for people here and wherever God takes your feet, right? I mean, being available, but it starts, as I said again, in my own home. And if I'm looking for appreciation, that's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. Right here, we know that there were 10. I read it right here. One of them, when he saw that Jesus was healed, came back to Jesus and shouted, praise God, and he fell to the ground at Jesus' feet, thanking him for what he had done. This man was a Samaritan, and Jesus asked, didn't I heal 10? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give God glory? If you're looking for appreciation, if that's your motivation, it won't last long. No. You do this out of obedience. This is what I said earlier. Out of simple obedience to the Lord. When we show up and we care for people, I'm not looking for pats on the back. I'm looking to be obedient to where God asked me to go. In Philippians 2, 5 through 7, it says, you must have the same attitude that Christ had. Though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave, a servant who was born into a human being. God chooses to move into the neighborhood. There's a little clip I want you to see. God became man and dwelt among us. There's a little clip here. What I want you to look at, I want you to look at the interactions that Jesus has in real world, everyday life, and just, it's very simple. So go ahead and play that, the clip there. think Dennis asked me, can you stand in one place? I'm really, because you have a camera. So I'm being very faithful to that. I'm not used to doing that, standing in one place. I'm just curious. This is life in the real world. There's some people there that I've watched this many times, but that just stand out to me, catch my heart. I'm just curious. Anybody just jump out to you? You can go ahead and answer. I mean, this is pretty relaxed. Anybody? Who stood out to you? The wedding, obviously. Great one. The baby, absolutely, shows up. Absolutely. Rob, I've been there. I've held those people as they collapsed. You know, and then I was there when it was my brother that was killed, and he died. And I met them on the other side of the door, and they held me, and I fell. How about the girl with the broom in the classroom? You know, God shows up and whispers in her ear, "You're doing a good job." How about the garbage truck guys? How many of you, I've done this so many times in my yard, I tell them, "Guys, good job. Thank you so much." Always appreciate them. They're shocked, you know, that I would take time to say that. That is the sacred service, that ministry of God's presence, showing up, encouraging people in everyday life. It's not complicated. This right here, this, okay, are we back? Let's see. No, I moved down a couple slides. So, well, that's right. You're doing those. It doesn't matter what I do. I just remember that. So the ministry of the, I don't know what the slide. The scripture that says the word became human and lived among us. It's about two or three slides down. So, yeah, if you find it. Okay, that's okay. We'll go right there because that's the next one, actually. This right here, what she said, the person that knew how to live on the streets in Calcutta and cared for each and every person as a worthy person. The most important thing you'll remember about a person is not the words they say or the things they gave you. It's how they made you feel when you were with them. Now, pause for a moment. Let that soak. It doesn't matter the words we say. They're important. It doesn't matter the things we give. It's how we made the person feel when we showed up. As I said earlier, everybody can make you happy. Do you want to be that person that sacred service you have is showing up and touching their heart, displacing the atmosphere? Their life has fallen apart? Or maybe they're just in the doldrums and what's next? It doesn't have to be big, but you have to be faithful and you have to have your eyes open to see it. When you're shopping at Costco, I mean, I'm going for all the treats. You know, what do they have? And you got to do them in sequence, right? So, you know, you have to do it that way. But what about the person that's serving you? You ever stop to take just the time to say thank you so much and care for their heart? That is the ministry of presence, the sacred service of showing up and caring for them and displacing the atmosphere in the midst of that crazy place and saying, you're valuable. You're important. That's what we're talking about. That's the kind of thing we're talking about. We'll just skip that next slide with Mother Teresa. It's very personal. The journey for me, you know, I talked about our grandkids and great-grandkids, and when our grandson, Luke, got cancer, you know, our world changed. It changed. The hospital room at Dornbecker's became our new family room. We showed up there for 2.5 years. Luke was an inpatient for a year solid over the period of 2.5 years. We lived at Dornbecker's. We're a Dornbecker family. We still go and help and decorate and do things. But so it's personal. Now, that's my story. You've got a story, the same story. It's different, but you have a story where God showed up, and I think of the people showing up in our lives during this time. We couldn't talk. We couldn't breathe. We could barely exist. And yet there were people that showed up and wrapped their arms around us, and just showed up and cared for us. That's what we get to do. That's what God wants to do. Laura and I retired in 2016, and that's, yeah, she'll come up there. But we didn't retire. We refired is what we did for Jesus. We just took this old broken clay pot and just glazed it over again, threw it back in the furnace and said, let's go. And you know how we do this thing, this ministry of presence? We had to come up with a prayer card because we're missionaries, actually, from the church I pastored for nearly, I was there 24 years as pastor. And so we're actually missionaries on assignment, wherever God takes our feet. I've been asking this question, where are my feet? That's how I know where and when to be where God wants me to be. He says, Mike, I made it simple for you, and I've taught this for years with missionary kids and missionaries in YWAM. Guys, it's a simple question, where are my feet? Where are my feet? You're going to stay grounded that way. And they think it's a trick question. It's not a trick question. I have them stand up. And I tell them, where are your feet? That's the mission field. It's not ever over there because you're always preparing to do it. No, it's never over there. It's always right here. God's sacred ministry, sacred services, right here. And what's the mission? Look around. Who's there? It's pretty simple. Look around. Who's there? I had a lady in this last class that I taught. It was just in September. Anyway, I was at the Samaritan's Purse training just recently with Billy Graham. And she came up to me and she said, Pastor Mike. You know, she said, you've changed my world. I said, okay, and who are you? You know, I meet a lot of people. And I meet a lot of people, the same people over and over. Anyway, she told me, those two words, show up and touch someone. Change the way I see my world. Where are my feet? Change my world. She says, I'm always on mission. And I'm always wanting to be the sacred service. That ministry that allows God's presence in me and through me to touch the world around me, to change the atmosphere. You changed my whole paradigm. Now, I didn't do that. There's nothing novel or new about this. It's pretty simple stuff. But guys, when you're looking about how do I, Lord, have an effective ministry, ask the question, where are my feet, Lord? Right here. Who's here? And guess what? If no one's there, it's a one-on-one with Jesus. Just do one-on-one. Okay, God, I'm here. But that revolutionized my heart years ago. And so Laura and I have been on this great adventure. You know, and yes, we've gone places, but we always start at home with each other. Starts with us first, us. And then our kids and our grandkids and our great-grandkids. And so what a privilege. When we were in Athens working with the church that was fleeing ISIS. There was about 300 YWAMers, and we were in Athens, and we were working in refugee camps with those that were fleeing ISIS. And this picture is, that's Mars Hill, that's our feet, but I'm praying with a grandfather just like me in what we would use as a little a storage shed. You know, that's what he lived in. It was one of those storage boxes. And he with his kids and grandkids were living in this place. And I had the privilege of being the ministry of God's presence. We did not speak the same language at all. I had a little kid translator. But our hearts were one on one. I have grandkids. And he fled with all of his kids and his grandkids. And he's in this little box. And God changed the atmosphere in that room. Over and over. They brought people in. Would you pray for us? Would you pray for us? Now I'm speaking in English and these Arabic. And then we're not talking the same language. Heart to heart, the ministry of God's presence was so heavy there. Laura had the same experience where she was. We were in different parts of these camps. And so that's just where we're there. But the most often in where I am for the ministry of God's presence is in my home and in my community where I live. And I go other places, but always I'm on assignment by God, always on assignment. I'm going to skip that. Again, this is our backyard picture of our kids. And this just recently, I'm working with my kids that are in college, and some of them are in the trades, and we're painting rocks for Tori. And she said, Papa, thank you for always being here with us. It's not any more complicated than that. The sacred service, the ministry of God's presence, is where I am. And it's allowing him to live in me and through him, to show up in those places in life with my kids and my grandkids and the world around me. We have a shared journey. This right here, now I won't play the video because we'll save. Oh, we'll do the last one. But Father Mike, you can go ahead and put this up. Father Mike, he was the first victim in the Trade Center. We have a shared experience, this global trauma, 9/11. He was the first victim, Father Mike. But he said, come with us, Mayor Giuliani. He says, no, I have to stay with my men. I have to stay in a hard place. And he died as a result of that. It will be costly for you to show up in a hard place. Sometimes your life, but most often just your time, your energy, your resources, you know, your schedule. That's what it's going to cost you. And yet God says, this is a good thing. This is a good thing. Anybody recognize this? Next one is the COVID experience. Anybody? Yeah. I have friends all over the world because of YWAM. I have friends all over the world because of being in this ministry, you know. And we talk a global language. It's called COVID. Where were you? What happened to you? Do we understand what happened when we lost face-to-face? Do you understand what it cost us and the world as a nation? We're just now beginning to understand a little bit of that, aren't we? You're seeing that trauma, that latent trauma. But we have a global language that we can speak. And God says, will you show up? We know what it was like. I remember my kids were afraid that, well, these old people are going to die. Well, we almost did, actually. We did get COVID. And but the point is that we have this common language. This is current. Laura and I just certified for Billy Graham as chaplains, and we got in right under this and missed this disaster. But the floods in Texas, I mean, the word, am I right? It's called compassion fatigue. That's the technical word for it. I don't know about you, but I'm overload. Yeah, in terms of all the things that are going on in the world. Well, God hasn't asked me to go all over the world. He's asked me to be obedient to where he wants me to be. Not that complicated. Again, the question, where are my feet? Where do you want to take them? Whose kids? I mean, your kids, where do you want me to go to hug them? And to be that sacred service, that ministry that displaces the atmosphere. And you know how it's been done in your life? When someone shows up with that breath, that fresh breath of God's presence in your life. School shootings. I mean, we can already talk about that. But that's a global. Charlie Kirk. It doesn't matter where you are. I mean, I don't care where people are politically, because I've had some really interesting conversations about this with people I love. I said, I don't care. This is a person that was assassinated for his faith, for his position, for standing up. It doesn't matter where you stand on this one, because we saw it. And I'll tell you, I did not want to see what I saw. I didn't know I was going to see it. So we have this trauma, this deeply distressing and disturbing experience, don't we? I need the washing of God's presence in my life. I need people to show up and encourage me. Rob has done that for me. Rob has been an encouragement to me. People ask us, what do you chaplains do? You know, because you're seeing the stuff, you're doing the stuff all the time. We talk to each other. Landis and I don't know if many of you know Landis, but Landis and I have been friends for 45 years. We've been walking together through this, and we call each other. We need someone to show up, that God's ministry of his presence would come. And God's asking you, God's asking me to show up and be that person. I'm going to end with this right here. It's just simple. I skipped a bunch of stuff, but it's so simple here. Mr. Rogers, one of my all-time heroes in the world. When I was a boy, I would see scary things in the news. My mother would say to me, look for the helpers. You'll always find people who are helping. To this day, especially in times of disaster, I remember my mother's words, and I am always comforted by realizing that there's so many helpers, so many caring people in the world. the cool thing about getting older is I know I have less in front of me than I do behind me. I have a lot of water that's run under the bridge. You know, at 77. I did, just not long ago, a few years ago, I did, six friends died, I did three of their funerals, and they were all younger than me. So I'm very cognizant of the reality of my own mortality. And when I am, I'm very careful, and I'm pretty light-weighted in terms of what I'm going to do, in terms of I'm nimble, ready to move at God's heart and his beckoning. Mike, I'm sending you. I'm sending you. Start with your wife, then your kids, then your grandkids. But I'm sending you to displace the atmosphere with the ministry of my presence in and through you. It's not you, Mike. I've said for years. Someone said, oh, you're such a good guy. You're so nice. I said, if it's good that you see, that would be God. All the dirt, it's Mike. It's Mike. If you see any good in me, it'd be God. And so when I say this, I'm not talking about you showing up because you're a good guy. But you're a God guy, a God girl, a God woman. And God wants to show up in you, through you, and displace the atmosphere. That's what he wants to do. Always look for the helpers. I'm going to end with this, just this last slide right here. The ministry of presence. Whatever you did for one of the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you did for me. Be somebody to somebody. Mother Teresa, there's a little clip there, and I didn't play it, but she was talking about that loneliness, that aching loneliness of being forgotten. Being forgotten. And she says and implores us, be somebody to somebody. That's what I want to leave you with. Let the ministry, the sacred service of God's presence in your life, not because you're perfect, because you're not. I'm a sinner just like you, but I allow God through his Holy Spirit to live in me, walk through me, and displace the atmosphere around me by his presence. Not Mike, not me, but God in me, through me, displaces the atmosphere so that we can be somebody. Because God needs our hands, our feet to show up and touch somebody. Now, physically, I'm a hugger, but physically, but always, always spiritually and emotionally, socially, get in their space. It's harder and harder because we're pushing away, aren't we? You know, we're pushing away. Oh, just text me. No, just this, just that. No, we see people this way. Well, there's a new syndrome. I can't remember what it's called, but chiropractors have this name for this new one for your neck. It's going to be totally ruined, you know. And I don't know what it is, but I remember hearing about it. You know, no, we need to be in people's space. Ask the question, Lord, where are my feet? Nope. If you have to, stomp your feet. This is where you're at. Look around. Lord, who do you want to influence? Who in my world that you've assigned me, who do you want to influence with that sacred service, the ministry of your presence in their lives? Who? I don't know, but you do. That's not my assignment to find out. It's yours. Father, thank you so much. Your word is so simple. Your word is so clear. Lord, you want us to show up in people's lives in hard places, in the dailiness of living, Lord. I pray that you would help us do that well, to be your instrument in your hands that displaces the atmosphere in the world that we walk in so that they will know you in the love of the Father. Lord, we just ask this in your name. We ask you to do it. Thank you for this privilege of just being a part of this body today. Jesus, we love you. In your name we pray. Amen.
Well, thank you, Mike. Thank you for that reminder and the exhortation to minister to others by just being there and, well, as you said, get in their face. And we're thankful for that that reminder and that exhortation. And it's because of what God does. God shows up in his faithfulness. And I was reminded of an old quote by a guy named Hudson Taylor, who was part of China Inland Mission, and he died well over 100 years ago. But it reminds me of this quote where he said, God is not looking for men of great faith. He's looking for common men who trust in his great faithfulness. And so we want to enter into a time of worship and trust God for his great faithfulness and sing this song, which is an old one you might recognize, called Great is Thy Faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness, O God my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not, thy compassions they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever will be. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Summer and winter and springtime and harvest, sun, moon, and stars in their courses above, join with all nature in manifold witness to thy great faithfulness, mercy, and love. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Pardon for sin and a peace that endureth, thine own dear presence to cheer and to guide, strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. Blessings all mine with 10,000 beside. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me.
Amen. Let's stand as we close out.
Worthy of every song we could ever sing, worthy of all the praise we could ever bring. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe, we live for you. Jesus, the name above every other name. Jesus, the only one who could ever save. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe, we live for you.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, that you are our rock and our refuge, our foundation, Lord. Thank you that your word tells us when the storms come, and we do know that the storms come in life, Lord, that we will not be shaken, our foundation will not be destroyed, Lord, when we put our feet and our hope in you. And we thank you, Jesus. Thank you for the truth of your word. Thank you that, thank you for all of your promises, Lord. We want to hang our hat on those promises, Lord. Know that you love us, that you care for us, Lord. We trust you. We trust you, Lord, because you are faithful. And Lord, we love you. We thank you. We thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your love. And Lord, pray that our worship would be pleasing to you this morning and always, Lord. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. What an incredible word today. Thank you guys so much. That was powerful. Yeah. Give God some praise. One verse really stood out, and often when we're leaving, I pray the benediction over you, and I say, now go out into the mission field. And I really appreciated that, 2 Corinthians 2:15, for we are to God the fragrance of Christ among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. The fragrance of God. Wherever we go, we get to be his presence, and I'm so grateful for the reminder of that word. What a great way to present that to all of us. We get to go and take him in every place that we go. And so today, before you go out into the mission field, if you need prayer, please go over and get prayer. But if you would, let me just pray the benediction over you, and then we'll send you out, and we'll see you soon. May you walk in the Spirit, experiencing the fullness of the joy of the Lord, shining as a light in a lost world, standing firm in your faith, testifying to your family, friends, and community by your love for God and for others. May your fellowship with the Holy Spirit and your ability to hear the voice of our great shepherd and your daily transformation to be more like our Lord and Savior Jesus overflow in you in every moment until you see him face to face and eternally see him in all of his glory to forever enter into his rest. And all God's people said, amen. Have a wonderful week in Jesus.